1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Ahead of today's opening ceremony for the Paris Olympics, French officials say a series of, quote, coordinated attacks on the country's rail system have disrupted service in much of the country. Authorities say fires were set along three lines, targeting the country's high-speed rail. Disruptions expected to last through the weekend. Republican leaders working to find their message against Vice President Kamala Harris as she becomes a likely Democratic presidential nominee. House Speaker Mike Johnson among the Republicans blaming the nation's immigration issues on Harris.
We have an absolute catastrophe on the border, and it was engineered by the Biden-Harris administration.
Harris, meanwhile, picking up a big endorsement as former President Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama have endorsed her campaign. A statement from the Obamas released this morning say she has the, quote, vision, character, and strength this critical moment demands. Fire officials in California now say the Park Fire has burned more than 164,000 acres. This is ABC News. California's governor issuing an executive order demanding state agencies to clear out homeless encampments on state land. ABC's Alex Stone reports.
Governor Gavin Newsom's executive order directs state agencies to begin removing homeless encampments on state land and urges cities to do the same. Brian Crane is a CEO of the Orange County Rescue Mission. He welcomes the order from the governor.
I think there are ample organizations that are ready to open their doors and welcome them in.
But the governor's office says it won't be immediate. First, plans have to be worked on for clearing encampments in what they call a dignified way. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A big change for a big budget carrier in what's been a signature policy for Southwest Airlines for decades. The company says it'll be doing away with its open seating system. Carrier says it's working on a timeline still for implementing the change, but will soon be offering premium seats with extra legroom. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
The president ends his reelection campaign.
And the Civic Media team led by Todd Albaugh and Terry Bell brings you the breaking news.
After days, if not weeks, of advice to pull out of his reelection campaign.
President Biden releasing this letter, quote, I believe it is in the best interest for me to stand down.
Real news and great conversation.
You can count on it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the mayor.
That's what we can do, Johnny. We can start a new mafia. You're the Italian. I could act.
You're the accountant.
I could
You're
act.
The whole thing.
I'd like to do more than accounting, but
no, yeah. I know. But you know what I mean. Well, that's just the
okay.
But I say the accountant.
Todd
it's
would
like,
be.
That
like,
sounds like a good name.
Jim, you could run the east side. Okay,
yeah, I'll take the east side.
Mino and the mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Brandi Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Cruden Dom.
Tune in Friday for a very special Devil's Advocates. Crudy will continue burning bridges and will air your grievances only on the Devil's Advocates radio show.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 80 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 61. Tomorrow, sunshine 86 on Sunday. Partly cloudy 86 with thunderstorms late on Sunday night into Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high.
It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, do you know Republicans are trying to amend the Wisconsin Constitution again? Would you be surprised to know that it's all a bunch of garbage? Probably not. I'll explain.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Good morning and welcome in. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. Happy to have you along with us today and happy to report a beautiful summer day will kick off the weekend. In South Central Wisconsin, we'll see sunshine and highs of 82, winds moving at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Over by Lake Michigan, it's a similar story, just a few degrees cooler. And as we head north, you'll see a few more clouds and higher wind speeds, but still a warm, dry day. We'll talk more about it in about 15 minutes with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Also this morning, Paul Mitchell joins us in studio. He's the director of the Rank Agribusiness Institute on the UW-Madison campus. He'll paint the picture of what this year's ag economy has turned into with the low grain prices and what break-even looks like for a grain farmer this year. After that, fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will sit down with Compeer Financial CEO. That conversation will give us some insight into rural lending trends in today's ag economy. You don't want to miss it.
At Compeer Financial, being here for you means something. With your loan, you access far more than financing. Enjoy member benefits like discounts on personal and business expenses, financial education, and special events, plus patronage, essentially reducing the costs of the funds you borrowed. Compeer Financial, here for you. Find out more today. Call 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/member-benefits. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Imagine being able to detect pests on your crops simply by listening to them eat. This groundbreaking concept has become a reality with the introduction of the Insect Eavesdropper. It's a tool designed to transform pest management in agriculture. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and UW entomology professor Emily Bick is the co-founder of the Insect Eavesdropper, and she says that by harnessing the power of sound, this sensor offers farmers a new way to detect and monitor insect pests directly on their crops, providing early detection and precise insights that can significantly enhance crop protection strategies.
It's basically a guitar mic that we clipped onto a plant which had an insect feeding on it. We thought of the idea through a trip actually to a sugarcane plantation in Indonesia. I was working with all of these population models trying to predict when pests show up just based off of the temperature. And the farmers I was working with out there said, we don't care when the adults show up. We don't care when this prediction happens. We really want to know, are the larvae in the stalk? In the state of Wisconsin, this is kind of like a stem borer in soybeans or European corn borer. And we thought, wait a second, we can actually hear or use the plant stem as a way to amplify the sound and actually hear or eavesdrop on insects as they're directly feeding on the crops.
There's a lot of insects out there, and you just mentioned a few. How do you know which sound is which insect even?
Well, we started with the large observable insects, insects that we wouldn't necessarily need the insect eavesdropper for. We tested tobacco hornworm, it's a couple inches long, on tobacco plants. And then we tested Colorado potato beetle, once again, large observable. But then we went to the more extreme insects, the insects that are so obnoxious for scouts, for farmers, for crop consultants to figure out is actually there. We tested this with European corn borer. This was a second instar, 11 millimeters, really itty bitty. We had to use actually a wet paintbrush and static electricity to fling this insect onto the stem of the plant. So super, super small. And we were shocked. We could actually hear distinctly that crunch sound as the European corn borer was feeding down that stalk of the corn plant. Then we tested this out on corn rootworms, and we were extremely surprised that we could hear insects feeding underground when this microphone is clipped on a couple inches above ground, kind of at the first node during a V4, V5 corn stage. And then the next stage was kind of bringing this sensor outside, right? So we took the sensor, we put it on top of an existing pesticide study that we basically implied an in-furrow pesticide at different rates and had an untreated control, as in no in-furrow insecticide applied. And we could actually tell the rate of biting was highly correlated to, or highly closely related and predictive of, the number of nodes that had actually been eaten. Now, to figure out if you have corn rootworm in your field, you have to dig the plant, right? Especially the larval stage, which is doing the vast majority of the damage. You dig the plant, you either put it in a bucket, you put it in a malaise trap, you wait till the larva kind of hatches out, dries out, and then you can start to count it, and you can actually tell what that damage is. But this type of sensor allows for that direct detection. So without having to bring your machete or butcher's knife to a cornfield to split a stalk of corn or try to open a cob of corn to see if you have a corn earworm, you could just simply listen.
So take me through then the actual using of this. There's a few different ways, correct?
Yeah, so the two major ways of using this is either on a regional scale or on kind of a crop scout, crop consultant, farmer scale. On the regional scale, we have a network of corn plants, a network of corn fields, of soybean fields, of alfalfa fields that we have across the entire United States. And we use this network, we monitor this network, we call them sentinel crops. We monitor them to figure out what diseases, what pests, what pathogens are coming through and are in your region. Now, right now, that requires a lot of manual labor, a lot of manual scouting. And I would think about these in the same way that you think about weather stations, right? Weather comes directly to your door, even though we don't have a weather station right outside of your door, right in your field. In that same way, we could set up a network of these types of sensors where we could then interpolate or kind of estimate back in between the two points what's going on in your field. Another way forward is, it turns out, at least for European corn borer and for northern corn rootworm, which is the two insects we tested this on, we actually figured out that you only need to clip the mic on for about 40 seconds to be 95% confident that you have an insect if it's there. And the big caveat is during the time of day that the insect is feeding. They feed at certain times of day. It's about 4 hours a day. And so if you clip it on during that time of day and you wait 40 seconds, you'll know really easily, do you have that insect? Do you not have that insect? If you scooch that time frame down to 20 seconds, you're only at 90% likelihood of having an insect or not having. So that means what we could do potentially is have this, instead of being a standalone box sensor, we could have this be a phone app where a scout, be it a farmer or a crop consultant or a paid scouting group, can actually clip a number of these sensors across the cornfield, set them up, wait 20 seconds on the back end, and unclip them, and use your phone app to figure out what's actually going on in your field. And those are the two paths that we're working towards right now.
Now you've got this data. What's next? How are you sharing it with the farmers? You know, how can they get one of these on their fields?
So we've got this data, and it's really a prototype. I should say that loud and clearly, right? So we've handed this sensor out to 20 different academic labs, two of which are in Europe, in the Netherlands, and in the UK. The other 18, including my lab, are in the United States. And right now we're at the stage where we're figuring out, what is this good at? What is this bad at? Right? So we are literally clipping these mics on and saying, can we hear insects that are, let's say, pests of mushroom compost? It turns out not so much. Can we hear insects that are boring? boring and bruiser beetles that are boring into apple stocks. Yep, it turns out we could hear boring insects for small apple trees. How large of a tree is acceptable for this type of sensor? So that's what my lab and the other kind of Midwestern collaborators are focusing on, trying to figure out what this is good at, what this is bad at, and then how do we best interpret the data? We're right now working on this massive suite of machine learning algorithms as a way to tell these species apart. And even though there are a lot of insects in the world, there are over 2 million known species of insects, right? Not all of them are going to be eating on your corn plant. So we're talking about a species limit of, you know, 10 to 20 species. They feed at different times of day. And we're using some of that known insect knowledge, known pest knowledge, and we're translating that into what the option is that the machine learning algorithm separates out.
And you guys also have the Insect Pest Text Alert Service. Tell me a little bit about that and how it's been used so far since the launch in April.
Yes, so we have a pest alert service. This is based off of an Iowa State program that Dr. Erin Hodgson runs. She's their soybean entomologist. This is a way to help get insect knowledge directly to farmers. What's in your field and when? So we basically have on my website and then on the Crops and Soils Extension website, we have a place for people to sign up for text alerts. We send maximum one text a week as insect pests become a problem. And that text is then linked out to a website, which has a little blog post, a little bit more information. That blog post is linked out to full pest profiles if you're curious about what insecticide do I use? What's the life stage I'm looking at? How do I scout? All of that information should be included in this text alert. We have about 300 people signed up right now. So we're delivering this information directly to 300 farmers. We're hoping this will get out a little bit more too.
And speaking of their help, that's kind of that citizen science behind everything that you're doing. What role do the farmers play in that to be able to make this work?
So there are a couple roles that the farmers really help with. One, I really appreciate the handful of farmers that are helping me out this year with some field studies that we're actually testing out the eavesdropper on their farms. That's been fantastic. We're testing out a couple other pieces, right? So we're actually seeing how, what time of day you sweep net, how that impacts the number of insects you actually catch. And if there's a better time or a worse time to sweep net in alfalfa and in soybeans, you don't really sweep net too much in corn or else you're going to hurt your corn or possibly your sweep net. The other way that we're doing it is I actually get reports. I get notified on Twitter. I get notified via email what pests certain crop consultants and certain farmers are dealing with. As people have direct questions, folks tend to swing around to me or my other extension colleagues. And that's extremely helpful for us figuring out what tools are needed, what responses are needed, what blog posts we need. Because as you ask questions, I'm sure a whole bunch of other people have the same question. So we're trying to really quickly adapt to those questions that you have.
That's UW Entomology Professor Emily Bick along with us. You can visit BickLab.com to learn more about the insect eavesdropper and see how it can make a difference on your farm. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community, here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is a 1,200-mile footpath started in the 1950s and now running through 30 Wisconsin counties. The Ice Age Trails PR director, Melissa Pyrick, says one group of hikers describes it best.
They started in St. Croix Falls, so they kind of did this North Woods, which is very rural and rustic. And they said they couldn't believe once you get down into the southern part of the state, especially Dane County, all of a sudden it turns into prairies and it's just beautiful.
The trail continues south to Janesville, then back to the northeast and up to Sturgeon Bay. It is also one of just 11 in the country designated as a national scenic trail. Learn more about it in your area at iceagetrail.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabidada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong.
with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Cube League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's cubes.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Cube Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Baton.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll check in with NBC 26 sports director Brandon Kennard and get his take on the Packer training camp.
Then Miss Green Bay, Aaliyah Kurzweil is back, but this time for live music with our Heights Pub and Parlor segment.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hi to Wisconsin agriculture. And spoiler alert, our forecast today looks great for eating ice cream. It's time now for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, I love ordering ice cream in a cone, but if it's going to be too hot where it melts everywhere, I'll get a dish. What do you recommend today?
Today, especially into the afternoon, a dish is probably pretty important, but it's always a good day for ice cream. That's how I look at it, and I've got a lot of friends that think that way. We're in for a wonderful day with sunshine, very mild temperatures. A front is still stationary to our west. This is what we're going to watch today and on into the weekend. This front extends from northwest North Dakota to southeast Nebraska, down into Missouri, the southern tip of Illinois. Now, low pressure is going to try to push that boundary a bit further east, unsuccessfully. Just a little scattered rain in western and northern North Dakota this morning, far northwest South Dakota. Otherwise, that front's dry. But mild air will build north ahead of that boundary. So those temps warm up today, get even warmer for Saturday and Sunday as well. Finally, by Sunday, I believe for us, that front may start to move a bit. Low pressure will move in along it, and we'll start to talk of that small possibility for a mid or late afternoon shower or isolated thunderstorm. That chance may last into Sunday evening. We'll kind of see the same setup a little later Monday into Monday evening. Not that I expect a lot of rain, but some localized amounts pushing up to half inch or more. Certainly a possibility with that kind of development. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
As you said, Stu, a beautiful day on the way today and tomorrow. I think I might have to take the boat out this afternoon and enjoy the sunshine while it's here, huh?
Not a bad plan at all. I would suggest doing something that's more fun and maybe near water to be cooler. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update, sunny skies today, and I expect a lot of low 80s. La Crosse and western Wisconsin a bit warmer, heading toward the mid-80s. The winds will become southeast today, about 5 to 10. Clear overnight, very upper 50s or low 60s. Southeast winds about 5. Sunny on Saturday and warmer Here's where we all push toward the mid-80s, maybe an upper 80 in the west with the south winds at 5 to 10. And by Sunday, more partly sunny skies, mid and upper 80s, that small chance of an afternoon shower or an isolated thunderstorm, and the south winds at 5 to 10. Stephanie, those temps stay pretty warm up into the mid or upper 80s right into next week. And the instability, every now and again, a little shower chance will stick around into next week, too.
The message here, enjoy the sun before the rain does come at the front part of next week. If you do get any rain on Sunday, let me know through our talk text line at 877-301-3276. If you do experience some of those showers, again, that's 877-301-FARM. I'll be happy to read your reports on air on Monday morning. Just tell us your name, your location, and what you're seeing out your window. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your partner committed to rural America. Visit Compeer.com and stick around for our conversation with Compeer later this morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to dispel a credit myth. A NerdWallet survey found that more than 46% of Americans think that carrying a monthly balance on your credit card helps your credit score. This is so not true. Carrying a monthly balance on your credit card does not help your credit score. Here's what does. Number one, use credit cards. Number two, don't charge more than 30% of your credit limit in any given month. Number three, pay the card off on time and in full every month. That will help you get a good to great credit score. Carrying a small balance won't hurt your score if you're paying the minimum every month, but by carrying a balance, you're also going to be paying a lot in interest. And that is why this is a myth that credit card companies don't work too hard to dispel, because it makes them some money. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Ahead of today's opening ceremony for the Paris Olympics, French officials say a series of, quote, coordinated attacks on the country's rail system have disrupted service in much of the country. Authorities say fires were set along three lines, targeting the country's high-speed rail. Disruptions expected to last through the weekend. Republican leaders working to find their message against Vice President Kamala Harris as she becomes a likely Democratic presidential nominee. House Speaker Mike Johnson among the Republicans blaming the nation's immigration issues on Harris.
We have an absolute catastrophe on the border, and it was engineered by the Biden-Harris administration.
Harris, meanwhile, picking up a big endorsement as former President Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama have endorsed her campaign. A statement from the Obamas released this morning say she has the, quote, vision, character, and strength this critical moment demands. Fire officials in California now say the Park Fire has burned more than 164,000 acres. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are tied in Wisconsin in the first poll here since President Biden dropped out. The Emerson poll has Trump and Harris deadlocked at 47% in a head-to-head matchup. Emerson finds Senator Tammy Baldwin leading Eric Hovde 49-43. Wisconsin is investing in its rural agricultural roads. James Kelly reports.
The funding is part of the first round of awards through the Agriculture Roads Improvement Program, which will provide nearly $50 million for rural road projects across the state.
That's James Kelly reporting. The spending will support 37 projects across 28 Wisconsin counties. The projects are aimed at helping Wisconsin's agricultural industries by boosting infrastructure critical to moving products, crops, and livestock. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Concern for Christian Yelich. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled back to beat the Cubs 3-2 at Wrigley Field to win the series in Chicago. So for the season, the Brewers and Pat Murphy had an overall record of 8-5 against the Cubs and manager Craig Counsell. But the team placing Christian Yelich on the 10-day injury list while he seeks medical advice for his sore back. He may end up with season-ending surgery. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, like I said, you know, losing Christian's huge. Could be devastating, but this team hasn't been devastated by much. You know, they kind of, I really appreciate that. I'm grateful that you have a group. Again, I keep saying this game's about people.
The Brewers return home. They open a 3-game series against the Marlins tomorrow night. And the team has signed Jaden Fielder to a minor league deal. The 19-year-old infielder from Florida is the son of Prince Fielder. NFL talks between the Packers and the agents for Jordan Love continue. Meanwhile, tomorrow morning is the Packers' first training camp practice in pads, open to the public at 10:30 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will do a news roundup. We'll take your calls and your texts. And Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com joins us to talk all things showbiz. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 80 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 61. Tomorrow, sunshine 86 on Sunday. Partly cloudy 86 with thunderstorms late on Sunday night into Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. For more information, visit wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
The president ends his reelection campaign.
And the Civic Media team, led by Todd Albaugh and Terry Bell, brings you the breaking news.
After days, if not weeks, of advice to pull out of his reelection campaign.
President Biden releasing this letter, quote, "I believe it is in the best interest for me to stand down."
Real news and great conversation.
You can count on it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Mattenair on Air with Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah. It really is a melting pot.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Welcome back on a Friday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. A beautiful couple of days are in front of us before rain is expected to hit us again. The Old Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be a good day to get some yard work done, not according to the sunshine on the way, but according to the moon. Let's take a look. The Old Farmer's Almanac says today, July 26th, is a good day to get rid of pests and weeds. I suppose I could get my traps set up after the morning show today. I don't love the idea of pulling weeds this afternoon, but it needs to be done. The Old Farmer's Almanac also recommends getting some pruning done. Now, I would consult some other experts first before I start cutting, but the moon is in your favor on that. Unfortunately, grain prices have not been in a crop farmer's favor. So we consulted our own expert on that. Paul Mitchell joins us in studio. He's the director of the Rank Agribusiness Institute. Paul puts it bluntly that it's not a good year for a grain farmer price-wise, but there are some safety nets to take advantage of.
It's going to be a rough year for the 2024 crop. I mean, it looks great nationally and everything, but the prices are not, price expectations are in nowhere near what we expect we need for break-even prices for most farmers. We're talking a corn crop, Wisconsin, somewhere around $5, upper $4.90-some cents. Soybeans at around $11.40. Well, market prices for the 2024 crop are not there. They're like at $4.15, $4.30 for corn, $11.10 for soybeans. So farmers are looking at a year when they're going to lose so many cents per bushel. You can hear those numbers, and you know, $4.30 corn, and it cost you $5 a bushel. That's a big loss per bushel. And these are averages, and so, but it's going to be rough. And some farms will be lower cost of production, so their break even price is lower. Some are higher too. So it's going to be a rough year for the 2024 grain farmers.
Let's see, at the Ag Outlook Forum back in February, we kind of already projected farm income to be lower this year. That sounds like it's still the case, or is it even further down?
Back in February, you know, they had some price expectations, but even since May, the price of corn projected for the 2024 crop is down 10 cents since May to July here, both for corn and for soybeans, down 10 more cents. So that's, we've been seeing the prospects for the 2024 crop on grain farmers to eroding. And so farm income, I think if they did the updated their Ag Outlook Forum and did the farm income forecast, it'd definitely be lower. They were talking a 27% decline, the sharpest decline in farm income in 18 years. I think it's even worse if they did that today.
So this year, is it comparable to 18 years ago, or does this year give you a similar feeling as any years past?
Back in the 2011, 12, 13, 14, we had this big run up in corn and soybean prices followed it. And then we had the same thing happen here, and we're coming out of that. And we went through a multi-year cycle of low corn and soybean prices, low grain prices. Then it was getting bad. The margins were negative to thin for farmers for several years, and the farm financial situation started falling apart. We were on the verge of a crisis, and then we had these big run-up in prices that we got with COVID, after COVID, and that saved us from that. We are beginning that time like that again. And my concern is if we have several years of this, it's going to hit a lot of farms. Right now, it's going to hit vulnerable farms this year with these tight margins for grain farmers. Equity is up in terms of land values have been done really well. We've seen here in Wisconsin, we were above regional averages. That helps balance sheets, but you have to own some land to be able to borrow against that. A few years ago, when prices were high and land values were up and interest rates are low, a lot of farms refinanced to lock in these low interest rates on their land mortgages, and that's helped them a lot. They paid off their revolving lines of credit or all their operating loans, and they can survive in that now. We've got some cushion in their balance sheets as we face these higher costs and negative margins. So the farms that have land, have equity built up in this during that period, they're going to be able to get through this for a few more years and eat their equity, move forward, pay themselves low rates of return on their land and their time. But the people who don't have those cushions, this is going to be a rough year. And if we have a couple more of these, which has happened in the past, it could get really ugly out there for the farm financial situation. We just have to wait and see how markets evolve for the 2025 and 2026 years. These seem far away, but it's not much, a few more months, and farmers are going to start thinking about the 2025 crop and buying their inputs already this fall.
The positive spin on this is that there are safety nets out there.
Some farms are going to start using these marketing assistance loans or the commodity credit loans, however you want to, with the Farm Service Agency, FSA. They're a great way to save interest costs. And even crop insurance this year there's already a price decline. You know, the corn crop insurance price is $4.66. Well, if we get these lower prices, there's a chance already of revenue loss just from price declines. But it's just all about management. This is the years when you learn how to manage. You're going to have to find ways to shave costs or pick up an extra cent here or cent there on your crop. A good marketing program, either working with a professional or if you feel comfortable, and just management, finding ways to save a penny here, a penny there. Over many acres, that adds up. And that's what farms are going to really be working at here, I think, for the 2024 crop.
Paul Mitchell taking some time with us, director of the Rank Acre Business Institute at UW-Madison. We'll talk more about options to navigate the farm economy later in the hour with Compeer Financial. Don't touch that dial.
Grammy Award-winning Brothers Osborne, live in concert. State Fair Main Stage, presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Sunday, August 4th, with special guest Sarah Evans. Get tickets now at wistatefair.com. Their self-titled album, Brothers Osborne, is available everywhere. Brothers Osborne, live in concert, Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
Hey, Wisconsin. This year's statewide science festival is featuring agriculture, and we need your help. The Science Festival is a free event that reaches all corners of the state and showcases technology, engineering, and more to 40,000 people of all ages. The festival is looking for individuals and organizations to host or volunteer at these events. This year's festival will be held in more than 50 counties from October 14th through the 20th. Visit WisconsinScienceFest.com. To sign up to help today. Friday from Chicago, grain markets are starting off in the red. Cash corn down 2 cents at $4.04 a bushel. December new crop corn down a penny and three quarters at $4.19 a bushel. Cash soybeans are down a nickel at $11.11 a bushel. November new crop soybeans down 6.5 cents at $10.73. And wheat is sitting neutral at $5.37¾. Fluid milk is telling a different story, starting off Friday with some strength. The August Class 3 milk contract is up 7 cents at $20.30 a hundredweight. The September Class 3 milk contract is trading up 13 cents at $21.30 a hundredweight. Stick around. The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke sits down with Compeer Financial next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Where the fans own the team.
This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you want to vote this fall and you're not registered, it's time to get busy. 15 states require a citizen to register 30 days prior to an election, and a recent study showed 9% of Americans don't have ready access to the documents required. Here's what you need. First, you'll need to prove that you're a resident of the state and that you'll be 18 years old by election day. In most states, this can be as easy as showing a driver's license or eligible photo ID. Some states require a residency of up to 30 days before you register, so if you've just moved, check out your state's rules. Second, you'll need to prove where you live. Utility bills, apartment leases, car registrations, property tax bills, or bank statements are often allowable proof. Students may need to show tuition statements or a student ID. Third, you'll need to prove that you're a citizen of the United States. Typically, that means showing a birth certificate, valid U.S. passport, or naturalization papers. The Brennan Center for Justice recently found that over 21 million Americans don't have ready access to proof of citizenship documents. Many states offer registration options beyond going in person to a municipal or county clerk's office, including online registration and at the DMV. We'll discuss the perils of Election Day registration next week. We've linked to the rules and options for your state at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas for a talk about the Twinges from American Ninja Warrior. And it's Friday, which means we are going to talk about a bar band. Terry Bar, that is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
They were being joined by the CEO of Compeer. Jace Wagner is along with us. I said to Jace, this is one of my favorite conversations in a calendar year with my friends from Compeer, because it's time for the patronage dividends and distribution to be happening. Jace, give people a little sense on how Compeer's financial balance sheet looks, how these patronage distributions can actually happen.
Yeah, correct. We had a great year in 2023, and we're happy to give back over $185 million total in patronage for 2023 earnings. But we did that on the heels of a great year across agriculture, solid prices, good crops, and good risk management by our clients, which produced good outcomes for us.
I'm not sure that everybody in our audience, Jace, actually understands what patronage is. If you've grown up in agriculture, been involved with cooperatives, you know. But give people a little sense on exactly what that is.
Yeah, patronage is the cooperative dividend. And so if you think about a dividend that pays a cash payment based on the number of shares of stock you do, that's a corporate type of environment. In a cooperative, patronage is based on the amount of work that you do with the cooperative. So it's a great way to align the work that you do with the cooperative with the payments you get back. And it provides that great effort to give back to our communities, to get that money back in those rural areas and back on the farm, to invest in your operations, invest in rural communities, or invest in yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I've been a client of Compeer Financial. Explain to people a little bit about how the distribution happens for the folks just like me that do business with Compeer. And then, like you said, Jace, there are also a lot of dividends that flow back into rural communities in a lot of different ways. Tell us a little bit more about how you split up the patronage to individual members and entities and then those communities.
Yeah, so patronage goes back based on the loan balance that you have and the net interest that you provide to Compeer. So we look at our total earnings for the year. We look at that relative to what's coming forward in the future year. And the board makes a declaration of how much capital to give back to our clients each year. So in this year, it's going to be $133 million of cash patronage coming back to our stockholders based on the amount of work that they do with Compeer. That gets divvied out in July. The checks hit the mail typically right around the first part of August, and that money is distributed out and hopefully reinvested back into our rural communities. Top of patronage, we also do work with our Fund for Rural America, which is invests almost $5 million back to our communities in different ways, supporting first responders, supporting local ag programs, supporting ag in a classroom, all kinds of different efforts on top of the patches that we give back to our farmers and ranchers each year.
Yeah, there's a lot of programs that Compure provides for rural communities, for the farm families that live in that rural community. Again, along with us, Jace Wagner is CEO of Compure Financial, announcing $133 million in patronage distribution that's going out right around now. You know, the other thing people have to understand, Jace, and it took me a while to get my arms around it, you stop and think about agriculture's roller coaster ride. Before we started this conversation, alluding to the fact that last year we faced a drought. This year, the damage done by too much rain. It is not all directly tied to the economic performance of the agriculture sector. Help people understand that.
Yeah, Compure is a very diversified operation. So we worked hard to both diversify the portfolio. So doing a lot of ag investing as well, rural infrastructure. So think about broadband, water systems, those type of things, but also broader agriculture. Think about like tree nuts and ag businesses and food production across the country and really having an impact across the world in that way. And so a diversified business model creates a real stable source of cash flow, which then is allowed to come back through the patronage programs that we've been talking about, but also retained for future growth, future risk management opportunities as well. We're headed into a different commodity market these days, and so we're ready. We're on a sound financial position, and being prepared and being diversified obviously helps us sustain through those downturns.
Let me ask you, Jace, is this a unique business model? I mean, the farm credit systems all across the United States, obviously a lot of our farmers may be working with another lender or of some type. Is this a unique situation that Compure has compared to other bank models?
Yeah, so Compure is unique. We are a member of the Farm Credit System. Many of the farm credit entities work well together. We share volume back and forth and share a lot of the same mentalities and certainly the cooperative structure. I think where we differentiate ourselves from other lenders is our ability to have the industry expertise that we can help our farmers, ranchers, rural homeowners really work through situations that they have in their operations. We also have the cooperative model, and it allows us to think long-term. It allows us to invest long-term in our clients and their operations. And that can be different than some other lenders who may be in and out and not committed to the long run.
Well, and Compure, as they say, puts their money where their mouth is. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, the financial support for communities. And Compure is on a quest to really build rural resiliency. That's not a phrase that everybody may be familiar with, Jace, but I know it's a mantra for everybody within Compure.
Yeah, rural communities are essential to serving our clients long run. And so we've been working very hard to try and find ways to invest in rural communities. We do some healthcare investments today, but we're looking to work with Congress and other lenders and really what we're calling the rural capital team. So that includes USDA, legislators, banks, credit unions, anybody who's willing to invest in rural America. We want to get together. We want to invest in places where it makes sense and really help rural vitality. So achieve our mission of having a world where agriculture and rural communities are dynamic, collaborative, and thriving.
Jace Wagner, along with the CEO of Compure Financial, announcing today that they are distributing $133 million in patronage monies that are going out to their clients and, as he said, continuing to reinvest in rural communities. I've got to ask you, Jace, give me a little sneak at what the board and yourself are talking about. You alluded to it earlier. We are facing a challenging time economically, global slowdown as far as money's concerned, everybody watching interest rates. How are you folks looking to pivot or stay the course, or what are some of the things that you're looking at for 2025 and beyond?
Yeah, 2025, certainly there's a lot of uncertainty out there in a number of different areas, whether it's political or commodity markets or others. And so we are looking to build off that strong base of foundation that we have. We are ready for a number of different things that could happen. We do some stress testing and really understand what where the variables are and where how much margin for error we have. So like we tell our clients, it's always good to prepare for next year, prepare for the future. So we've been doing that year over year, and so we are ready. And we're not exactly sure how that's all going to line up, but I know that we're going to be there and be a sound financial solutions provider for all of rural America, and that's really key for Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois especially.
Far more than just your financial partner, Compure Financial, also your voice in Washington, D.C., and when it comes to those community-focused conversations. Jace Wagner along with us, CEO of Compure Financial. If you've never investigated all of the benefits that Compure has to offer, now you should be enticed. Reminding folks that they're getting $133 million back in patronage distribution, and that's happening right now. And like I said, that money also trickles back to your rural communities through a lot of different programs, helping to build that rural resiliency that Compure knows is incredibly important to all. Jace Wagner along with us, CEO of Compure. Want to find out more? Want to find some of the resources that they've got available online or maybe an office near you? Simple to do. Jump online, compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
At Uline, the prevailing opinion is, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. The people at Uline believe in hard work, and they live it by being there 24/7 to answer your call, having 41,000 items in stock, and offering same-day shipping from 12 locations across North America. Business owners, sellers, buyers, shippers, and packers believe it. Uline is the hardworking, dependable source for your shipping and industrial supplies. Visit uline.com.
Farming methods evolve, maybe not quickly, but constantly. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
John Griffel farms with his father, Dave, near Gillespie in central Illinois, and they've been dabbling in regenerative agriculture.
We've just always looked at ourselves as stewards of the land. We've implemented cover crops in highly rotable soil, and we've done it at a slow basis. We haven't moved at a quick pace because whenever you talk about the de-risking and the financial side, we couldn't jump in with both feet. We've been doing it over a number of years and seeing what works and what doesn't, because there's a number of learning steps to go along the way. And one of the bigger barriers that we found is the education on the side of it.
Griffel says farming is a constant education.
I always say that my grandpa went through the change in technology. He rode on the back of a horse that pulled a plow to, before he passed away, he was driving a four-wheel drive articulating tractor. His lifespan went through such a massive technological change. My lifespan will be the social change of it. It will be the relating to consumers. It will be the talking to people. And instead of talking about constantly, how do we grow more, more, more? We need to evaluate the morality along those steps and say, how can we grow better? Rather than more, how do we grow better?
Griffel was part of a recent webinar about scaling regenerative ag practices beyond pilots to wide adoption. And there's a link to it on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. A great end of the week show. It is John Roach, columnist and Renaissance man, along with Peter Rapine. Week in review. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations! Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hours away.